Welcome to Ask a Doctor, what your doctor wants you to know with Dr. Virgie. Over the next hour, you'll learn valuable medical tips from health policy to personal finance and medical debt management. Now listen close and welcome your host, Dr. Virgie Bright Ellington.
Got a medical bill? Listen to this. How to catch the top 5 medical billing mistakes and have more money for holiday shopping. So we're in November and everybody's thinking about, oh my gosh, holiday shopping, things to get for the holidays for gifts. And if you're someone who's like, you know what, I really don't like celebrating the holidays that come up in December every year, there's awesome, nice sales to take advantage of to get gifts for yourself. So it's just a nice time to take advantage of stuff going on sale. So if you're not someone who likes to go shopping for things in November or December, you're someone who maybe likes to go shopping after December 25th or December 26th, because that's when they have the best sales, particularly in January. So this is a opportunity to figure out how you can have more cash for shopping and taking care advantage of taking care of medical bills that you actually owe, so you can take advantage of holiday shopping sales and not having medical billers, let's say providers in the U.S. take advantage of you. So if you've gotten a medical bill, listen to this. We're going to go through the top 5 medical billing mistakes that takes money away from you and yours that you can spend better than they can. Do not give away your money. Let's learn the top 5 medical billing mistakes and let's learn the only right way to pay a medical bill so it doesn't happen to you. So you don't become one of the U.S. medical care system cost victims, right? Number one cause of debt and stress and bankruptcy in the United States, medical bills. So let's not become one of them. Let's make sure that we protect ourselves and we don't get in that number. So first medical bill mistake. And if you've been listening to what your doctor wants you to know, and we talk about what your medical debt doctor wants you to know, you know, I always talk about the number one way, actually the only right way to pay a medical bill. And that just doing the 3 steps of the only right way to pay a medical bill with every single bill, no matter how big or small, that goes a long way in protecting you from getting overcharged and overpaying and going into debt for something you don't owe, for medical care services that you don't owe. So top medical billing mistakes. And as I was starting to say a few minutes ago, that if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I don't call them mistakes anymore. They are not medical billing mistakes, meaning the medical care system providers, hospital system providers, they've got these very sophisticated financial services, patient accounts and billing departments that figure out ways to take advantage of the average American not knowing, or someone who's had to take or get health care from a provider in the U.S. health system. They figured out how to take advantage of us not knowing. 99.9% of us don't know that there is just basic medical financial literacy, just basic things that we need to know. Otherwise, we're going to get taken advantage of. And so the things that happen in terms of us getting bills that we are getting overcharged, they're not mistakes, is what I'm trying to say. They're not mistakes. The very sophisticated for-profit U.S. healthcare system, and we'll talk about later, that includes nonprofit, and I don't call them tax exempt. Again, if you've been listening to me for a while, I don't call the hospitals that are nonprofit, I don't call them nonprofit anymore, because they do just as egregious, if not more egregious things than for-profit facilities. But if you are part of the US healthcare system, meaning you had to get treatment and you live in this country, 8 to 9 times out of 10, the likelihood is that you've been overcharged, because 8 to 9 times out of 10, 80 to 90% of every medical bill generated in the United States have mistakes. And if you can guess, they're not going to be in the interest of us, the patient, right? They're going to be in the interest of the provider and or the insurance company if you have insurance. So I'm talking about how to catch the top five billing problems that happen on our medical bills that make us pay more than what we should and eventually get up to 50% of us in debt. That's right. All the statistics, latest statistics are saying that up to 50% of folks living in the United States who had to interact with the US healthcare system has a bill that they cannot pay off at the end of the month. They're still paying on, so it's debt. So let's get started. Number one medical billing mistake, or maybe I should call it medical bill paying mistake, that we make and we get taken advantage of when we do this by the US for-profit healthcare system is paying with a credit card. Paying the bill on a credit with a credit card or putting the bill on a credit card, even quote a medical credit card, is a huge problem. That's the number one thing that we do that is a medical bill paying mistake. And this is why. When you put or pay our medical bills on a credit card, when you put on a credit card, you pay with a credit card, you wipe out the protections that are specially put in place by federal law to protect consumers from medical debt, ruining your credit. So we have a ways to go, but some changes have been made, have already gotten started as of 2022, and more changes will come in 2023. If you put your medical bills on a credit card, even a medical credit card, that obviates, it just gets rid of the special protection that you have directly with the medical system or provider that's billing you. So the protections that the U.S. government, federal government, put into place to try to say, hey, you know, medical debt is not the same as consumer debt. So we're going to try to protect people a little bit. So we're going to say, hey, we know medical billing mistakes are hugely common. They kind of figured out that 8 to 9 times out of 10, a medical bill has errors. And it takes time to address those errors. So they're saying, you know what? An institution cannot report a debt to a medical bill to a debt collections or credit agency until it has been not paid for 12 months. In the past, it was 6 months. So it gives you extra time basically to dispute the bill and document that you believe that you don't owe this bill, which is what you need to show a debt collection company or service, let's just call it a company, so that it does not get put on your credit report. So that's the first thing. So or first thing that the US federal government has put into place to try to say, hey, you know what, medical bills, you know, no one asked to get sick. No one asked to have an accident or an injury. Let's kind of separate it from a regular consumer debt problem that can hit your credit score. So the other thing that has been done is that as of 2023, if the bill is less than $500, then that does not get reported to a credit agency or a credit, the top three credit agencies, reporting agencies. So it doesn't hit your credit score. That's a big deal. Now that doesn't start until 2023, sometime in 2023. We have a few more months before that goes into place. But these are just some examples of why you don't want to put medical bills on a credit card. So someone asked me about a medical credit card. A medical credit card is something that either the healthcare institution, the hospital, or medical institution where you receive care has a credit card where they say, hey, please, you know what? We know it's a big bill. It's a lot to do. You can't pay all this off in 1 month. Please let us help you and put it on a card. And if you pay it off, I think the average duration is if you pay it off in 24 months, it's 0% interest. The problem is that if you don't pay it off within 24 months, it is a huge interest rate. And that's where things can get out of control when you have big interest rates on a credit card, on debt. Essentially, it just grows bigger and bigger. So that's why you don't want to put it on a medical credit card either. What to do? Well, make a payment plan directly with the institution that is sending you a bill. Oh, and there's also medical credit cards that outside banks and financial institutions are passing out or actually advertising and promoting. Again, don't put anything on a credit card that is a medical bill. Just cut to the chase. It obviates, meaning gets rid of the special protections that are put in place to protect your credit score from being hit by medical bills, things that is not your fault. Getting sick is not your fault. Getting injured or in an accident is not your fault. So the reason why I talk about not putting aggressively talk about, endlessly talk about, don't put medical bills on a credit card is because the big reason is, in addition to the special protections that you lose if you put it on a credit card, what happens when you put a medical bill on a credit card, you are not applying the three steps of the only one right way to pay a medical bill. There's only one right way to pay a medical bill, and it involves three steps. So let's talk about the three steps to crush medical debt, because when you're talked into putting your medical bills on a credit card, you're being taught, I can't even get it out. You know, just, and I always say this, I laugh so I don't cry, but you know, the ways that we're tricked into thinking, oh my gosh, they're being so nice to make sure that they help us pay our bills, that we're able to pay our medical bills. No, you know, I have many, many sayings, many mottos. And one of them is never hate a hustler, right? Don't hate the player, hate the game. But talking you into putting your medical debt or your medical bill on a credit card, even a medical credit card, is a way to get you to not apply the three steps, which is the most guaranteed way to overpay every time. Because again, 8 to 9 times out of 10, 80 to 90% of the time, medical bills that were sent are wrong and we're being overcharged. Just that's what it is. So if you don't apply the three steps of the only one right way to pay them a medical bill, the only right way to pay any medical bill, no matter how big or small, you're being talked into overpaying 8 to 9 times out of 10, guaranteed, 80 to 90% of the time. So let's talk about the three steps of the one right way to crush every single medical bill we have. Step one, when we get something in the mail, I call them statements. Again, folks that have been listening to me for a while understand that I don't call the first bill we usually get in the mail. I don't call them bills because they're not real bills. They're statements. And I often call them, you know, statements or frankly, wish lists. It's a wish list. They're wishing and hoping and praying that we'll fall for believing it's a real bill and pay that made up number. It's usually a made up number that's in the usually upper right hand corner of the statement that we're sent. The reason why they're not real bills is because step one, they don't have what's called CPT codes on 8 to 9 times out of 10 bills that are sent. in the United States from medical providers. So the issue is that CPT codes are to medical services what barcodes are to products in a retail store. So in the United States, every medical test, procedure, office visit, anything you can think of, everyone has a unique barcode, meaning CPT code, just like you go into the store. Every product has its own unique barcode. So think of a real bill as having a CPT code, a barcode with for each service that you received. So when you get something in the mail, you open it up and it has this, fantasy number in the upper right-hand corner, unless it has CPT written someplace across the top. If it doesn't have CPT, the letter CPT written across the top, it's not a real bill. I was talking to a radio host a while ago, and he said, you know what CPT stands for? It stands for can't pay this. So CPT, if you don't see those three letters on the top of the statement with the list of services that you received, and underneath the column, underneath CPT or CPT code, or it'll say, sometimes it'll say CPT/HCSPS. That's just a type of CPT code. If you don't see CPT with a line of five digits next to each service that you receive, it sounds like the services that you receive, it is not a real bill. Recently, someone reached out to me who said she thought that she had gotten a real bill because it, across the top, it said service codes with all these numbers down the across down the page next to each of the itemized service that they received. So they thought, they were tricked into thinking that it was a real bill with codes, an itemized detail bill with codes. No, it's not a real bill. It's still a statement. It's still a wish list.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Are you one of the millions of Americans struggling with their medical bills? Now there is a way to get the health care you need and take care of your financial life. Dr. Virgie Bright Ellington is an internal medicine physician, and she's a determined patient advocate, helping people reduce and even eliminate their medical debt. Become a member today and discover how to free yourself from a lifetime of bills at crushmedicaldebt.com. Join the Crush Medical Debt community today. Sign up at crushmedicaldebt.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're listening to Ask a Doctor, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know with Dr. Virgie. If you have a question for Dr. Virgie or her guests, you can email Dr. Virgie at dr.virgie@crushmedicaldebt.com. Now back to the show. Here again is Dr. Virgie.
This particular example, the person showed me the bill that they were sent, or I should say statement that they were sent, and they were told this is a bill. And across the top, it said service codes, seven, and then the seven digits. And I explained to her, I said, yeah, it says codes, it says service, it says itemized, and it has all these numbers, but it doesn't say CPT. So it's not a real bill. And all those numbers, it's just, who knows what it is. It's something in their system, has nothing to do with us as the patient and as the payer. So a CPT code, as a reminder, has five digits. And again, top of a statement, if it doesn't have CPT across the top and five digits next to every itemized description, it is not a real bill. So what are you going to do? You're going to do step one. you're going to call the provider. So usually underneath the fantasy request, you know, where they say this is a patient responsibility or you owe us, underneath there often they say, hey, you have questions? Call our billing department. Yeah, I have questions. You're going to call. The first step is calling that number. You're going to call that number, which is the billing department and or the patient accounts department, and ask for a real bill with CPT codes. Now, sometimes you get pushback. They're trained to do this. You know, the system's trained the folks on the front lines that are answering the phones, the customer service reps and the billing departments or patient accounts departments to say, unfortunately, it's true. They train them to do this. So it's deliberate. And that's why I say, you know, they're not medical billing mistakes. They know what they're doing. It's our mistake if we pay them. Their medical bill paying mistakes, their medical paying bill paying mistakes. So you'll often, unfortunately, hear something like, well, you're going to have to ask your insurance for that information. We don't have that kind of information here, or we don't have that kind of bill here. Well, let me tell you something. Yes, they do. And I'll tell you why, because many people, at least half of folks in the United States, have some kind of insurance. And in order for the insurance company to pay them, insurance companies only pay CPT codes. They don't pay random made up service codes internal to that hospital, a particular medical care system, right? They only pay the standardized information, the standardized code across every medical center and service in the United States. So all medical insurance companies, public or private in the United States, only will say, yeah, we got a bill from you only if it's a CPT code. If a provider tried to send an insurance company something that doesn't have a CPT code on it, they were like, well, what do you want us to do with this? They would not acknowledge it. You did not send us a bill. You sent us something, but you never sent us a bill, or it's a claim. A bill that's sent to the insurance company is called a claim. And a claim, if it doesn't have CPT codes, is not a claim. So why is it that medical centers send statements to patients with no CPT codes on it, but they send, in order to get paid from insurance companies in this country, they send real bills, statements, claims with CPT codes on them. So why would they send patients a different bill than what they send insurance companies? Why? Because it works. Because it works. 99.99% of people in this country who've interacted with the U.S. healthcare system don't know that if it's not a CPT code, if there are no CPT codes, it's not a real bill. It's not a real claim. So that's step one. You're going to call them and say, yeah, I really need something, quote, with CPT codes. So if they push back and say, well, we don't have that here, you're going to have to ask your insurance company for that, or I don't know where I can get that for you. I don't have that here in this department. What you're going to say is, yes, I need something. I can't pay this. I can't pay something that does not have, quote, CPT codes as per HIPAA federal law. Now, when you mention HIPAA to the folks in healthcare systems, it gets their attention. But I actually had someone say, look, I tried to use the word, the term HIPAA, federal law, HIPAA federal regulations. It's my right by law to have access to 100% of medical information that has anything to do with my care, whether it's bills, whether it's medical, the records, whether it's medical records or the bills that were generated as part of my care, no matter who it goes out to, I have the right. I own that. It belongs to me as per HIPAA law. And if a provider or a system violates that, the system faces, the provider faces some really hefty penalties. So I actually had someone, one facility apparently that was brave enough to say, well, we don't know what you're talking about still. Well, we don't have anything like that. So at that point, and I have done this, I say to them, look, if I can't get something with CPT codes for the care I received, as per HIPAA law, I'm going to have to file a complaint. I'm going to have to file a HIPAA violation complaint. Who do you suggest I speak with who can help me? So that's two things I want to talk about. We talk about asking questions, or talk about asking for something with medical providers or their front desk, the billing department or the patient accounts department. I always say, you know what? Don't ask. Remember never to ask a closed-ended question. That's a question that can be answered by yes or no, because all it does is just tell them, that just invites them, just makes it really easy for the person on the phone to say no and to get you off the phone faster, and they'll just hang up, right? So what you're going to ask is, or open-ended questions. That's who, what, when, how, or why. So you're going to ask, who can I speak with? Who can help me file a complaint, or help me so I don't have to file a complaint? Who can help me get a real bill or something with CPT codes? Or what's the process at that facility to get a real bill or something with CPT codes? I've had to do that. And, you know, sometimes they get really, some systems are, they get really brave and they think that it's, they're not going to get hurt, that most people will not, if they've gotten that far to ask for CPT codes, otherwise face a HIPAA violation, they don't really think that they're going to follow through with it. So yeah, it's real. You can empower yourself. This is information to empower you so you're not taken advantage of. You're going to do step one, which really answers a lot of questions when you get a real bill with CPT codes, because it's just not some nebulous number where they make it up, right? But you can see the services that you had, which is step two. When you finally get a real bill with CPT codes, you're going to make sure that every service that you're being billed for sounds like the care you received. So you're going to take each CPT code, that's five digits, and you're going to Google it. You're going to Google each CPT code that is on the real bill that you finally receive. And while you're there, you're going to, one, get a short description, what plugs in, when you plug in rather than numbers, what comes up is a short description of the services that describes that particular code, and just make sure it sounds like what you received. You know, if it says something like closed, you know, humeral fracture, and that's a humerus is a fancy term for arm fracture, bone in your arm. If it says manipulation and treatment, and all they did was cast it, that doesn't really sound like the services. Maybe it doesn't sound like the services you had, and that's something you're going to question. Or let's say that you went in for a hysterectomy and you're billed for a hysterectomy and a myomectomy. A myomectomy is where they take fibroids out of the uterus. Well, why would you take out the fibroids from the uterus if you're going to take out the whole uterus anyway? So things like that, just make sure that every line, every CPT code sounds like the services you received. Then while you're there, you're going to Google what Medicare pays for that service. Again, Medicare, federal government, medical care system, and people think, well, it's for old people, so it doesn't apply to me. Well, actually it does, because that's the standard retail rate payment that hospitals will accept for services. That's what Medicare pays. Now, private insurance pays usually 200 to 300 to 500% more than what Medicare pays. So that's why many facilities will, medical centers, hospitals will try to charge you a, what I call an MRSP, the manufacturer retail sticker price, right? Full price. And these are made up numbers. And unfortunately, it's really not uncommon for it to be the numbers that you're billed by providers to be 500 to 1,000 to 2,000% more than what Medicare pays for the exact same service. So that's why you're going to take, for, you learned in step one and take it to step two, which is making sure that what you are being billed for is what you received, the care you received, the services that you receive, medical services you received, and two, what Medicare pays for it, because that is the fair price. That is the price that you're willing to pay. And then step three, that's when you're going to call back the billing department and or the patient accounts department and say, hey, you know, I got a bill for $10,000. You guys sent me a bill for $10,000 for this emergency hernia repair surgery that I had to have. But in my case, in my research, this is what you're going to say. I am willing and able to pay $3,000. I'm just making up a number. This is hypothetical, but let's say that $3,000 is a number that is the total that you came up with what Medicare pays for each of the CPT codes describing the services you received. And what you're going to do is say, I am able to pay and willing to pay $3,000, but I don't have the money to pay it all. And I need to make a payment plan. Who, again, no closing-ended questions, don't ask, can I speak with? No. Who can I speak with? Who can help me make a payment plan? And what you're going to do is make a payment plan that's within your budget. So you may get pushback. Well, if it's only in your budget to pay $100 for a $3,000 bill, or let's say, you know what, I really can only do $50. I just, that's all I can do. And they, you may get pushback where they'll say, well, $50 on $3,000. Well, even if we agree to accept $3,000 instead of the $10,000 that we're billing you for, that we believe you rightfully owe, why would we only take $50 a month for $3,000? That'll take us years to get our money. And you might be thinking the exact same thing. Why would they accept this? It'll take 3, 5, 7, 10 years to pay this off if I can only pay $50 a month towards it. Why? Because number one, you're being proactive. They don't have to chase you. You're not hiding from the bill. You're not ignoring the bill. You're being proactive. You reached out to them, the hospitals or medical centers, billing department, and saying, hey, I want to pay what I owe. They don't have to chase you and they don't have to risk having to sell the debt, the bill, for pennies on a dollar to a debt collections company. That's why they're going to agree to it. That's why you have to stick to your guns and say, no, this is all I can do. If that's all you can do, that's all you can do. Please stick to it. And again, don't put it on a credit card because again, that obviates the special protections you get. And if you can't pay it off in 2 months, or I'm sorry, 24 months, then the interest rates jump up and the amount that you owe can explode and you're really in big trouble. So you're going to make a payment plan and request an interest-free payment plan that's within your budget to pay off that bill. And there you go. So that's the number one medical billing or medical bill paying mistake that we need to address and make sure we don't do, so we keep our money in our pocket. Today's segment of Cousin Richie Jr.'s joke of the week, we actually have a reprieve. We actually have one of my very, very favorite listeners send us her
top 10 favorite jokes. And she says, actually, she says these are from her Facebook friends, so she can't take credit for them, but I'm going to give her credit anyway. The jokes for this week is from Dr. Joe Braden of Arizona, one of my very favorite folks. And she's always got a great joke for me. And this week she had 10 of them. So I know she's she's been holding on to them with all of these bad jokes that we've been doing from poor cousin Richie Jr. But hey, you know, we're all doing the best we can, right? So let's give cousin Richie Jr. reprieve, and let's do the top 10 jokes from Dr. Joe Braden. Number one, I named my dog Rolex. He's my watchdog. Number two, the CEO of a mirror company just passed away. Please take a moment to reflect. Number three, did you hear about the man who drank furniture polish? He came to a nasty end, but had a nice finish. Number four, I started a dating service for chickens. It's not my day job, but I do it to make hens meet. Number five, if a plant is sad, do other plants photosympathize with it? Oh, I remember this joke. I've seen this one. Number six, why do seagulls fly over the sea? Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be called bagels. Number seven, what do you call a musician with problems? A troubled man. Number eight, did you hear about the autopsy club party on Saturday? It's open mic night. Number nine, I bought a head of lettuce from a small grocery store called the Mamas and the Papas. I can't eat it though, because all the leaves are brown. I know that's a bad one. I'm getting in trouble for that one for singing. I know. Okay, last one, number 10. Water, this is a scientific joke. As per Dr. Braden, our favorite pharmacologist and physician, water is heavier than butane because butane is a lighter fluid. All right. So if you have any jokes of the day or cousin Richie Jr. jokes of the week you'd like to share and give us a reprieve from Dr. Virgie and cousin Richie Jr. jokes, please send them to david@crushmedicaldebt.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Are you one of the millions of Americans struggling with their medical bills? Now there is a way to get the health care you need and take care of your financial life. Dr. Virgie Bright Ellington is an internal medicine physician, and she's a determined patient advocate, helping people reduce and even eliminate their medical debt. Become a member today and discover how to free yourself from a lifetime of bills at crushmedicaldebt.com. Join the Crush Medical Debt community today. Sign up at crushmedicaldebt.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You're listening to Ask a Doctor, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know with Dr. Virgie. If you have a question for Dr. Virgie or her guests, you can email Dr. Virgie at dr.virgie@crushmedicaldebt.com. Now back to the show. Here again is Dr. Virgie.
Number two, medical bill paying mistake is when we're given a bill that has the wrong code. So this happens a lot. For some reason, I'm finding this happens a lot in my experience with ambulances, with ambulance service medical providers. So a couple of stories I've shared is the the ambulance service that took my best friend's daughter to the from one facility who she has type 1 diabetes, and she had the dreaded complication that can unfortunately kill you pretty quickly of type 1 diabetes, and that's called DKA or diabetic ketoacidosis. And at that time, she was still a minor. She was under the age of 18. When she was driven to the hospital ER, they stabilized her, but they didn't have a pediatric ICU, and they needed to get her to the nearest pediatric ICU. So they called an ambulance to take her. Fine and dandy. She does well, comes home. Awesome. We're really relieved. Life is good. 6 months later, my best friend gets a bill from the ambulance company saying, hey, you know that hospital ride we did where we helped save your daughter's life? Yeah, you owe us $2,500. Your insurance didn't pay towards it. This is your insurance was billed, and this is what you owe. So my best friend gave me the bill and said, you know, Virgie, can you take a look at this? What is this? $2,500. $2,500 they're asking. And it didn't take me long to figure out. I looked at the CPT code. Again, 5 digits. For ambulance services, it usually starts with an A. And so anyway, plugged in each CPT code, and it said non-emergent transfer or non-emergent transportation. Now, there is zero insurance company ever that's going to pay for a fancy ride in a nice cushy truck that is not an emergency. There is no insurance company that's going to pay for that, and nor should they, and neither should you. That was clearly a mistake. It was clearly emergent. It was clearly emergency services that was needed. So I shared this with my best friend. She calls them up and she said, hey, we were billed. The CPT code that was billed is for non-emergent services. This was very much emergent services, emergency transportation. And they said, oh my goodness, our bad. So sorry. Just disregard that bill. And she never heard from them again. $2,500. And, you know, my best friend is a single mom, you know, putting kids through college. You know, that would have definitely gone on her credit card if I weren't her best friend. I told her not to, but she would be paying on this for a long time. And it's money she doesn't owe. So we're not going to fall for that. We're not going to fall for that medical bill paying mistake. Another type of code that gets billed, just in general, this happens. You have to be on the lookout for this when you request a real bill with CPT codes. The reason why you have to do the 3 steps every single time you get a bill, a medical bill, is because often the services are billed as not emergent. Like if you go to, they had to go to the ER because you were having horrible, horrible, severe abdominal pain that you can't figure out what the problem is. And it gets billed as essentially something that is non-emergent. And there are different ways this can show up. This is why you have to plug in the CPT codes to see how it's described. Yeah, they're not going to, they, meaning your insurance company, is not going to, if you have insurance, is not going to pay for anything that is non-emergent. So again, step two, or sorry, top two, number two of the top 5 billing medical billing mistakes, sending a bill that has CPT codes on it that are wrong. Often it's because they're describing something as that was emergent as non-emergent. Number three of the top five billing mistakes is that you went to a nonprofit hospital. And folks, again, listen to me. I've been listening to me for a while. Know that I don't call them nonprofits anymore. I call them tax exempt. If you go to a nonprofit hospital and you get a big bill and you call them and say, hey, I need a sliding scale income-based discount, meaning financial aid, it goes under different names, financial aid, financial assistance, charity care. I need an application. They're not going to, even though by law as of 2021, actually by law, nonprofit facilities are to post their prices and post how you can apply for an income-based discount. 65% of every medical facility or hospital in the United States are nonprofit, meaning tax exempt. And what that means is that they have agreed in exchange for paying zero taxes on up to billions of revenue, unlimited revenue, they pay zero taxes on it in exchange for providing care to those in the community in which they operate. So, meaning sliding scale based on income, income-based discount. And just because you have a relatively high income, don't think that you wouldn't qualify. Sometimes your bill is so big that you will qualify. So please always, if you went to check and see if the facility you went to, if it is nonprofit, meaning tax exempt, by law, they have to give you an application to apply for a sliding scale or income based discount. Remember that. Number four, the top five billing mistakes is, or medical bill paying mistakes, is when the facility doesn't apply copays, the provider doesn't apply copays to your bill. So this happens a lot with providers that have to provide services frequently over a period of time, like physical therapy or occupational therapy. This comes up a lot where you pay your copay. If you have insurance and there's a copay, every time you visit, you have to pay, let's say your copay is $20. So they have to collect that every time. And usually they do every time you go for your visit, your session. And I have had, I think I shared this story many times, and I did share the story in the book, Crush Medical Debt, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know to Crush Medical Debt. I shared this story. And my husband had a problem with a shoulder. He had a nasty tendonitis of his shoulder. And went to PT and things were great. It was really happy in that the tendonitis was resolved. He was able to do things without pain. Awesome. And then about 3 months later, he gets a bill and he doesn't understand why. And he asked me to look at it. Virgie, can you look at this? Sure. I apply the three steps. Usually step one, folks, takes care of many, many problems, most of the problems with these bills, because they don't expect you to look for a real bill. Many providers don't expect you to look for a real bill, meaning they don't expect you to know to look for CPT codes. So I look at all the CPT codes. Okay, looks appropriate. You know, just in general, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm really interested in looking at what the insurance paid, if any, and why there is this amount that's owed. And it didn't take me long to figure out the number of visits. Let's say he made, 15 visits. 15 times 20 was the amount that they said he owed. And I looked at it and I realized they did not apply the copays, this $20 copays,
of any of the 15 sessions that he went to. And so he called them and brought this to their attention. And they said, oh, our mistake. Just disregard that. We'll take care of it. If you hadn't have applied the three steps of the one right way, the only right way to pay a medical bill and added up the total that you owe. And again, if you have insurance, that's minus any copay or coinsurance. If you have coinsurance, you know, look at your bill, apply all three steps, please. The final step, or I should say top five, number five of the top five medical billing mistakes is balance billing. Balance billing is when you have an in-network provider, meaning you have insurance, and a provider says, hey, I'm contracting with your insurance company to take whatever they pay me as payment in full. Payment in full may be as little as $10, even though your provider billed $100 for that service. It's what they do. They make up a number so they can discount it to be able to be on the insurance panel. So they have opportunity to have many patients as part of their patient population. So they may say, okay, we normally charge $100 for this. Yeah, sure, this is made up. But the insurance says, well, we only pay $10 for it for our members. And they'll say, okay, fine, we'll take it. Balance billing is when you check to make sure that the provider is in network with your insurance. You called your insurance company to make sure, hey, is Dr. So-and-so or this hospital facility, is this facility in network with my insurance plan? If they say yes, then if you get a bill after you've taken out the co-pays that's due and co-insurance, if you have co-insurance with your insurance plan, if they billed you anything other than that, above that, anything other than what the insurance paid and your copay and co-insurance, anything other than that is balance billing. So let's say we talked about $100 as something that the bill provider bills, but your insurance only pays $10 for that service. Balance billing is if they send you a bill for the remaining or the balance, which is in this case, hypothetical example, $90. That's balance billing. And that happens more often than you'd want to believe. And again, I laugh so I don't cry. It's really, really outrageous. And got to protect yourselves, folks. We have to protect ourselves. I talk about often, I say, yeah, I'm the lady, you know, I'm the doctor that got out of paying a $90,000 bill, medical bill, and you can too. Let me show you how. And I give this example because it's a beautiful example, unfortunately, of balance billing. I went and had to have emergency surgery and the facility said, hey, you owe us $90,000. And that's basically almost $90,000. And yeah, you know, you're going to have to, you know, put it on a payment plan. We'll help you out. You can talk to one of our billing department team members who can help you make a payment plan. Yeah. Okay. I knew I didn't owe any of it. The bill, I think they said, again, that magical number in the upper right-hand corner, they said I owed patient responsibility was $90,000, but the insurance had paid their adjusted amount and what was left over was $90,000, or so they said, they claimed. And it made me laugh because I knew that I called my insurance company to make sure, hey, isn't this hospital where I went and had these services, aren't they in network? The answer was yes. And it made me laugh. I thought, you know, nice try, but no cigar. Nice try. But again, I laugh so I don't cry. It's not funny because they know that it works so often. 8 to 9 times out of 10, folks, bills have mistakes. And like I said, they're often not mistakes. They know what they're doing. And now so do you. We got this. We have more money in our pocket, so maybe we can do some holiday shopping and take advantage of some sales.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show.
We hope we have given you some helpful tips to guide you through your medical journey. Until we talk again, have a beautiful week.